church for the opportunity that we have to come and stand before you here tonight, and certainly hope that we can give God the honor and glory that he deserves. As Brother Casey said, I do desire an interest in your prayers tonight, that if there be anything done, it'll be through him, not through anything that I can do this evening. And if you want to follow along with us, we'll be in the book of 2 Timothy, starting with about the third chapter. And I guess to kind of give a little backstory on how that this came about. There at home in Macon County, there's a preacher that kindly had a burden for, I'm going to say, a preacher Bible study. And anyway, the first night we met there, and it was kind of a topic that they talked about, and just kind of brought to our senses a sense of urgency that we need to have, that oftentimes seems like we're lacking in this day and time. And certainly, I myself can see that there's a need for those of us that's been called to preach, and even you that's been saved, that we should have a earnest desire to work and labor for God. That there's a great work that needs to be done out in the world, and certainly each and every day it seems like we the world's straying farther and farther away. And tonight, that's kind of the thought that I had on my mind and on my heart. And this is not directed at this church or anybody in particular. So I don't want you to think that if there's something that we come across. I'm not trying to point fingers or step on anybody's toes tonight. But certainly, this is things that we need to really think about in this day and time. And hopefully, it might draw something up in you there that will help you to understand what kind of urgency that we need to have to be about God's work. With that being said, we'll start in the third chapter of the book of 2 Timothy with the first verse, and it says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For when men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." We won't stop there, and you may say, "Preacher, this is Paul talking to Timothy there in those in the biblical times." But I want you to understand that this particular set of scripture can be applied today in the time in which that we're living. Does everything that I read there we can see is going outside these church doors, not just here in Bowling Green? It's in Macon County just the same. So I want you to understand tonight, as I said, that we as God's children need to have urgency to work and labor for him, that we might can draw these people away from these sinful things and these lies that they're being told, and tell them the truth tonight. And we want to kind of pick up there where we left off, and it says, "Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was." We want to stop there and flip over in the book of Exodus, about the seventh chapter, and talk just a minute there about those names, Jannes and Jambres, that we read. And that'll be in the seventh chapter of the book of Exodus, along about the eighth verse, and it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, When Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, Shew a miracle for you, then thou shalt say unto Aaron, Take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and that shall become as a serpent. And Moses and Aaron went unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, now the magicians of Egypt. they also did in like manner with their enchantments. For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. And he hardened Pharaoh's heart, and the hearken that he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened, he refuseth to let thy people go. Those two names there that we read in the book of Timothy happened to be the magicians for Pharaoh there that he called into his court when it, Moses and Aaron there went before Pharaoh and were trying to talk Pharaoh into letting the Egyptians or the Israelites go there. And we find that if you read on a little before and even after there, that it took countless times for this to happen. And every time that Moses and Aaron went there, that God went with them. And I want you to understand tonight that Pharaoh put a lot of stock in what that those magicians and sorcerers and could do with their enchantments. But as we read here, and if you read on, and you see these other times that Moses and Aaron came there, that the Lord prevailed. Much as he will today, that we still serve the same mighty God. And that, as I said before, the things out there in the world that are drawing our people away, they may look fun and they may look frilly and entice them to come in, but I want you to understand that they're deceiving our children. They're deceiving our brothers and sisters. I know countless, I'm going to even say kids that I went to high school with that I know were brought up and raised the same way that I am, that they've strayed away because these other things seem to entice them a little more. And they seem more fun. But I want you to understand that our work and our labor with God can also be fun. And it's a blessing. And oftentimes I feel like that we made it seem more like work than it really is, though it takes an effort. But we have God to help us. And we'll finish reading here. And back in the book of Timothy, and it says, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience, persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, in Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." As I said before, you may say, a preacher, Paul is talking to Timothy there, trying to tell him what to watch out for. And as I said before, we're facing these same things here today. If we know by reading the Word of God that Paul faced countless persecutions and he ran into troubles just as he was telling him there at Iconium and Lystra. At that point in time, he'd been stoned and left for dead. But you see that it didn't slow his zeal down because he knew where his strength came from. He knew who was in his court and would be backing him there. He even says that, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." I believe that Paul knew what was going to happen. And if we follow history, we know that there's been great fallings away down through time. And certainly we're in one of those now, I do believe. But such is all, God gives us the answer to all things. And that 16th verse, and it says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness." Brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you tonight that the only answer book that we need is right here in front of us. And he even says so there in what that he tells us that That the Scripture is for doctrine, which tells us what we need to believe. That it's for reproof and for correction. It's our measuring stick to hold us accountable and keep us in line. And also for instruction in righteousness. It tells us how that we need to live our lives. So that we might be a light to this lost and dying world that's around us. That we might be able to draw people in so that they can hear the truth. And the last verse, it says that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto good works. Tonight, I want you to understand that the same God that's standing here with me tonight helping me preach is the same one that will be with you when you follow the leadership of His Spirit. And certainly, He's not going to send you into conflict or a battle half prepared. He gives us everything that we need, and He wants to help us further His cause tonight. That'll be my message. I hope that you got something out of it. I'll turn it back over to you, Brother Casey.
Appreciate the message tonight, message of truth, and I appreciate it. Certainly, it does look oftentimes like we're living in some perilous times. My boy, just today, I don't know what they was learning in Sunday school. You know how children are, but we's going down the road on the way home, and he said, "Daddy, when's God coming back? God on His way?" I said, "I don't know, son. I don't know." I said, "Don't nobody know. We just don't know when it's coming back. We got to keep working and striving. We know that things out in the world seem awful and bad. But no doubt, like Brother Wesley said, God has equipped us. He's prepared us that we may be able to go into the battle. And I'm thankful tonight for God's word. I'm thankful. I think all of it kind of went in line as we talked about the crown. And one of my most favorite scriptures here is what Paul told young Timothy. And he tells him, he says, "For I am now ready to be offered at this time that my departure is at hand." He said, "I have fought a good fight and have finished my course and have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give unto me at that day, and not only to me, but to all of them that love His appearing." He said, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course." And my friend, that's all that I believe as God's people that we can try our very best to do, is to fight a good fight, to finish the course that He set us on. And to know that we've done the absolute best that we can do to defend God and His truths. And the end thereof, he said, "Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness." And he said, "Not only for me, but those that also love His appearing." I know tonight that there's a lot of people who put a lot of stock in that crown. I don't know very much about you all. I don't know if I get a crown or not. But I do feel confident that if the Lord does give me a crown, I won't be wearing it very long. I seem to kind of believe that it's all about Jesus when we get there. If He gives me anything, I feel pretty confident that it'll be at His feet before it's over with. Certainly thank God tonight for the message. I appreciate Brother Wesley. Anything on your heart tonight? Anything? Can we get a song, Brother Strode?